time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome to it. For this Monday, the 20th of July, Roundtable begins thusly with host of the Bill Carroll Show Fridays at noon, host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa. We're in stage three. Why can't we be? Bill Carroll's here. Hi, Bill.
Hello, because we're better than you guys are.
Well, Queen's Park Easy Bureau pal. Chief for the Toronto Star, Robert Benzie, in the Zoom house as well. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Jay, how are you? And you're reunited with Ryan. Man, it feels like September. You guys should be together in July.
Who's this Ryan guy?
In the words of the Blues Brothers, we're on a mission from God, and we're getting the band back together.
Here we go.
Right on.
All right, let's talk stage two, where we remain Toronto and Peel. I don't think, Bill, a lot of people were super surprised by that announcement today. It's one of those things where, as Torontonians, we tend to think that the world is completely looking at us when we find ourselves actually looking out at everybody else for a change.
Yeah, I can't believe anyone's even wondering. Look, you were 10 days or something behind moving to the stage you're in now. Why would it suddenly be different? I don't see why. You know, it was always from the beginning, the premier said, you'll move to one stage and then we'll give it 2 to 4 weeks and see what the numbers look like. Then you move to the next stage. So you start late, then you're going to be late at every stage. That just makes sense to me. But hey, listen, again, like I told you last time, not so much of a rush. I think the leap from stage two to three is even smaller than the one from one to two. I mean, it's summer. We're eating on patios anyway. I haven't been inside a restaurant just because we moved to stage three. But I do want to just, if I can pick up on something that your mayor said, and I'm sure it was just a misspeak because he's a smart guy, but I hate it when we hear people say, we're going to open up the restaurants when it's safe and healthy to do so. That was the final thing he said. John, it's not going to be safe and healthy when you move to stage three. We opened up on Friday. It is not safe and healthy. Otherwise, we wouldn't be walking around wearing masks, sitting in half-empty restaurants. Like I said, I'm sure it's a misspeak. He's waiting for it to be safer to do it. But here's the problem. We think of these new stages as rewards, right? We got to stage two. Before we hit stage three, the numbers have started to bounce up again in Ottawa because people are having house parties here. Because you look at the numbers, hey, two new cases today and we're moving to stage three. I guess this virus is gone and we feel like it's a reward because we won the battle and we haven't. And already we're seeing the negative results of that. So if we go into stage three thinking it's party time, we're going to be locked at home again pretty quick.
And you know what, Robert, Bill makes an excellent point. I have a friend that lives in a stage three city, and he was supposed to have an anniversary this past weekend with his wife where they're going to dine in a restaurant. He ended up going to a pub with a buddy earlier in the week, and of course that restaurant ended up getting closed down. So because of contact tracing, he is now in self-isolation and quarantine for 2 weeks. So as Bill mentioned, it's not necessarily the party that a lot of people are making it out to be.
Yeah, and I hope your friend's going to be okay, Jay, and probably he will be, because that seems to be what happens in these cases. Most people are fine. Mm-hmm. But Bill's right. It's very risky to think of this as a reward, and all of a sudden we're getting back to normal, because we're not going to be back to normal. And I was so happy to hear you guys talking earlier with the epidemiologist saying that we might have this vaccine from Oxford, the University of Oxford, or Oxford University in England. Because that's when we get back to normal, when we have a vaccine. Until then, we are going to be in this weird, surreal kind of limbo. And I think that it's good that officials like Mayor Tory are being prudent, and that Premier Ford and others are listening to the experts, listening to the public health officials, and saying, is it safe to do this, and how far can we go? Because if we do give up our vigilance and we don't pay attention, I was speaking to a friend in California today who says it is chaos in parts of the United States because of the problems, and you don't want to go backward.
Let's bring up a man's name who, at the same time, simultaneous groans and eye rolls, Andrew Scheer, he today came out and said that if Liberal MPs do not demand Justin Trudeau's resignation, they are saying they are okay with corruption and would be complicit. Bill, he may actually have a point here. If you're sitting around the third time and you're saying, yeah, I support this guy unequivocally and it doesn't really matter what he's been doing, then you are part of the problem.
Yeah, but then again, so is he, because if he'd been even a half-decent candidate, then that's we fair. Probably would have a different government today. So I'm a little... This one gets to me personally, because I'm really tired of my conservative friends saying, how stupid are people in Canada? I mean, how many times does this guy have to be in breach of ethics rules before Canadians finally learn? No, Canadians learned. I mean, he didn't get a majority. He, as I remember, he lost the popular vote. But I keep saying, I'm more likely to vote conservative than liberal in most elections. But boy, you made it very hard with your choice. So do better next time. Stop complaining. Canadians made the best choice they could at the time. But I think that liberals are really going to have to take a long, hard look in the mirror. I couldn't believe Chrystia Freeland throwing herself under the bus on his behalf last week and on Friday. We're all to blame here in the cabinet. Really? I mean... this is a leadership problem, period.
Yeah, Robert, I mean, you know, Andrew Scheer's comments come, you know, back in the day when we had SNC-Lavalin. There were some MPs that felt strong enough to speak out. There weren't many of them, but they had the courage of their conviction.
Yeah, and they're no longer with us. Yeah. So I guess Trudeau is a lot more ruthless than perhaps voters realize, and a lot more Machiavellian, too. I don't know. I'm going to take issue with something Bill said about Chrystia Freeland falling, you know, jumping in front of the bus or throwing herself under the bus. I actually didn't take it that way last week. I thought she was kind of very subtle. It was subtle and withering of the Prime Minister when she said, "Oh, he has my complete confidence." And it reminded me of when the owner of a sports team says, "The coach has my complete confidence," shortly before the coach is fired. Because if Mr. Trudeau leaves, Chrystia Freeland is the front runner to be the next leader of the Liberal Party. And there are people around her who would probably not mind seeing Mr. Trudeau leave sooner rather than later.
I did say on the Bill Carroll show Fridays at nationally noon to two, I did say that, you know, she threw herself under the bus, and then immediately, I'm sure, I don't know this for a fact, but I just imagined her going into a meeting with her campaign team as she gets ready to try to be the next Liberal leader, because you're right, there may have been a little of that going on as well.
I want to bring up this pig story while we have the time as well, because this is a great clip. There are activists that are now calling for a coroner's inquest into the death of a woman who got killed by a truck. She was trying to give some pigs some water outside of a slaughterhouse. Listen to what this activist had to say, though, about the slaughterhouse's part in all of this. Listen.
He accelerated and dragged her for more than 30 feet. The slaughterhouse company has rejected these calls for far too long, and we feel that Regan's blood is on their hands.
Basically saying, and there was another clip as well, basically saying, Bill, that, you know, you've got to make sure that you've got places for protesters to go if you're a slaughterhouse. What?
Yeah, I guess. That's a dangerous practice, approaching a truck to feed the animals, for sure. And it's not easy to be able to see all the way around the truck. At the same time, though, you're a truck driver, and you got to realize that's one of the threats, and you have to be really careful. The only thing I would really disagree with what I heard the activists say is that they don't think that he's facing tough enough charges. This may not be a criminal charge, but if convicted, there's a hefty fine here, because mm-hmm. those laws have recently changed in Ontario, and potential jail time, too. So, you know, they are taking it pretty seriously. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I don't have the details, so I don't want to comment on it specifically, but I think there's some pretty tough consequences if this driver didn't do his job, and that is be careful, especially in that environment.
Yeah, and you know, we should also point out, Robert, that the Halton Regional Police say there's no evidence to suggest that he acted intentionally. Well, from what we understand, allegedly, she was standing right in front of the grill. He did accelerate, and that did happen, but you know, it's a tough one to call. I don't think I'm on the side of the protesters in this one.
I mean, it is a difficult situation, but I think of it like picket lines, because we see those a lot, and there are protocols in place. I understand the protesters, you know, they want a safe space to protest, I have a feeling that they would be blocking the road anyway, and it'd be a very tough one to have a safe space in front of the trucks. So unless you had a situation like you have with pickets, where you say you're going to install the trucks for 10 minutes and then let people in and so on, and it's done in a very civilized manner. I mean, this is a terrible tragedy. This woman killed protesting at this slaughterhouse that has been the scene of many, many protests over the years. It's a very tough situation, but I think that the police would be better informed about what charges should be laid than maybe we would, you know, because they would have been on the scene right away.
Yeah, I just think the idea of a slaughterhouse having a place where people now can protest, and you mentioned it, you know, picket lines and that type of thing, you know, they have to have some sort of impact. That's why they're out there in the first place, but there's a level of danger to it. It shouldn't be a high level of danger, but when there's a moving vehicle involved, there's always going to be that particular risk. Bill and Robert, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Makes it like I never call him. Come on.
He's got to keep up the facade.
Right. All right. We got lots more to come as the rush continues. We'll take a look at a rather interesting new book out that talks about the survival instinct that might keep you afloat. It actually has to do more with cooperation than strength, but we'll get into that after 6:30 this afternoon. It is 6 o'clock, which means Dave McKee is here with his views on the news. Dave, good afternoon. Oh, shut it.